ओम ज्ञान सुमिरन्तस्य ज्ञानं जनशलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Translation: the means of livelihood of all persons, namely production of grains and their distribution to the prajas, was generated from the thighs of the Lord's gigantic form. The mercantile men who take charge of such execution are called Vaishyas. Purport: human societies, means of living, is clearly mentioned here as Visha, or agriculture and the business of distributing agricultural products, which involves transport, banking, etc. Industry is an artificial means of livelihood, and large-scale industry especially is the source of all the problems of society. In Bhagavad Gita also, the duties of the Vaishyas who are engaged in Visha are stated as cow protection, agriculture and business. We have already discussed that the human being can safely depend on the cow and agricultural land for his livelihood. The exchange of produce by banking and transportation is a branch of this type of living. The landowners are divided into, the Vaishyas are divided into many subsections. Some of them are called Kshetri or landowners. Some are called Krishan or land tillers. Krishak? Mukunda? Krishak? Krishan is given there. Some of them are called Tilavanik or grain raisers. Some are called Gandhavanik or merchants in spices. And some are called Suvarnavanik or merchants in gold and banking. The Brahmanas are the teachers and spiritual masters. The Kshatriyas protect the citizens from the hands of thieves and miscreants. And the Vaishyas are in charge of production and distribution. The Shudras, the unintelligent class of men who cannot act independently in any of the above-mentioned activities, are meant for serving the three higher classes for their livelihood. Formerly, the Brahmanas were given all the necessities of life by the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas because they had no time to spend making a living. The Kshatriyas would collect taxes from the Vaishyas and Shudras, but the Brahmanas were exempt from paying income tax or land revenue. That system of human society was so nice that there were no political, social and economic upheavals. The different castes or varna classifications are therefore essential for maintaining a peaceful human society. In the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Veda Vyasa states that this Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for propounding the highest truth, which is the essence of the Vedas, Vedam Vastavam Atra Vastavam. This is the actual subject matter of the Vedic knowledge. Here we find discussion of the means of livelihood for human society, which doesn't appear to be param dharma, or the savaipam samparo dharmo yato bhaktir adhokshaje ahaituki apratihata yayatma supraseedati. Param dharma, or the topmost activity for the human being and for human society, is unmotivated and unstopping, incessant devotional service to Adhoksaja, the transcendental Lord. So it may be questioned then, if why in the Bhagavatam, which is dharma projata kaitava atra, that from the beginning it is declared, it is kicking out all kinds of cheating religion, then why is there discussion of the means of livelihood of human beings, which takes place within the three modes of, it's generally understood to take place within the three modes of nature? This discussion is part of Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana, which is also stated in Srimad Bhagavatam as the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana, the scientific knowledge of all subject matters in relationship, or all subject matters seen in relationship with the Supreme Lord. So, Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana. So, here is being described the activities of the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras as it relates to the personality of Godhead. This is sambandha jnana, understanding everything in relationship to the personality of Godhead. What is our position now? What is our desired position? And how to attain to that desired position? That is the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, the subject matter is, the actual subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam is dancing with Krishna in Vrindavan. But as we're now performing another dance in this material world, we are instead of dancing to Krishna's flute, we are dancing to the tune of Maya. So, how to understand everything in relationship to Krishna? This is Krishna consciousness. And non-Krishna consciousness is not seeing Krishna in everything. Krishna consciousness means to see Krishna in everything and Krishna everywhere. Yomam pashati sarvatra, sarvatra, mahi pashati tasyaham napranashyanti, sachame napranashyami, sachame napranashyati. Krishna consciousness means to see Krishna in everything, and Krishna, not forget Krishna at any moment. And Krishna, to such a person, Krishna is never lost, and Krishna also says, I also never forget such a devotee. And Maya means not to see Krishna, not to see what is the relationship with Krishna. Vitayatam yat pratiyata, na pratiyata chatma. Yad vidyat atmano mayam yata bhasam yato yata tamaha. Maya means simply not seeing Krishna. Krishna is everywhere, Krishna is in everything. Srimad Bhagavatam gives us that knowledge by which we can see Krishna everywhere and in everything. And understand where we are now and where we have to move to by a scientific process. Scientific process in the sense that if we follow the stipulations, then we get the result. And if we don't, we don't get the result. If we chant the holy names of Krishna without offenses, nirapara-dilam loyle-pai premadhan, then we attain love of Krishna. And if we don't, if we chant the names of Krishna with offenses, then bahu-janma-kare-jadi-shrapam-kirtan-tabhutan-napai Krishna-pade-prindam. Even if we supposedly chant the names of Krishna for many lifetimes, we won't attain love of Krishna. So it's a scientific process, understanding what is our present situation, what is the desired position, and how to go from here to there. So now we are in the material world, according we have attained this human form of life, and we find ourselves in different positions within society. So how is that? That is due to, we understand that is due to, we understand means from Shastra we understand. Shastra gives this knowledge. That we have attained a certain kind of seeing function, certain eye, nose, ear, all this. Shrotram, Chakshu, Sparsham, Rasalam, Ghanam, Imacham. We attain a certain kind of body and a kind of situation in society according to the consciousness we have developed in previous lives. Now, Krishna arranges everything in this material world in a most wonderful manner that it reflects the spiritual world, but at the same time accommodates people who are not in the consciousness of the spiritual world. So people, according to their consciousness, they're placed in different groups, different situations according to their karma. Karma means according to their karma fal. In English we say according to our karma. Actually according to our karma, well, karma means it gives rise to karma fal. So different persons with similar mentalities and proclivities, they are placed in similar situations. The Vaishya mentality is one of desiring to, the Vaishya has a natural desire to generate wealth, to produce and generate wealth. That a real Vaishya is one who can go somewhere with no money and within a short time be rich. They go with nothing, and just like in England in the 1970s, Idi Amin, who's a modern day Rakshasa, he used to eat people, the military dictator of Uganda, he very mercifully threw out all the Gujaratis from Uganda, mercifully, because he didn't need them, at least he allowed them to go. He took everything they had, and they arrived in, they came to England with the clothes they had on and nothing else. Even every item of gold was taken off their bodies. They arrived with nothing, were put in refugee camps in England, and within 5 to 10 years they all had businesses. They're running their own businesses. Vaishya mentality. Prabhupada explained once that during a plague in Calcutta, the British, they had made an ordinance, because the plague is spread by rats, that anyone who brings a dead rat, they will get some paisa or whatever it was in those days. These annas. And so one man, somehow his business had collapsed. So he went to another Vaishya and said, "You give me some capital to start my business." And the man who was requested, he looked, pointed out in the street at a dead rat and said, "That is your capital." So he took the dead rat, got something, and somehow he, with the little amount of money he got, he bought something and sold it. And within some years, that man whose capital was when dead rat, I'm holding like this because you hold him up by the tail, is imitating holding a dead rat. So within some years they became one of the most famous business families in Calcutta. I can't remember the name. So that is Vaishya mentality. They'll naturally, they see the world in a way that how we can make money. There's that example is given that everyone sees the world in a different way according to their mentality. If a Brahminically inclined person goes to a forest, he'll think this is a nice place to sit and chant Hare Krishna, meditate on Krishna. If a Kshatriya goes, he'll think that we have to do some hunting here to kill the wild animals who are disturbing the rishis. If a Vaishya goes, he thinks I'll purchase the forest, sell the timber, make profit, and then clear the land and make a condominium. And if a Shudra goes, he'll think I'll bring my girlfriend here and we'll enjoy it. So everyone see, and a devotee, he goes, he sees Krishna. This is Krishna. This, everything here is nothing, nothing but Krishna. Krishna's trees. Krishna has arranged. So according to the mentality we see, and people get placed in different wombs according to their mentality. So the Vaishya mentality is described here as being generated from the thighs of the universal form of the Lord. They all come together, put together. And they have their mentality, let us produce, which is good for human society. But that is required. By the grace of God, so much foodstuffs can be produced with some effort. Some effort is also required. If human society is to be organized, then some effort is required. We hear that in Satya Yoga there was no division of Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, because there was no society, there was no organization. That was anarchy, because there was no need of any other archy. There was no need of any democracy or oligarchy, or there was no need of any politics or organization, because people were content to live very simply. They were all hamsa jati. They were all very spiritually advanced, and they were prepared to live on the whatever leaves and roots and fruits were available. But then in the next yoga, then organization of society was required, because people had more material desires. Not everyone was committed directly to full spiritual involvement. Therefore, it was required that there was some production. If people have material desires, so they may not be content to live on fruits and roots or whatever. Then they require some more opulent foodstuffs. Then they have to be produced. And gold and jewels, all these things are available, but some endeavor is required to bring them out. So then society needs organization. Then Varnashram began. There were Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras, each with their specific mentality. We find Karna was Kshatriya stock. That means his father was Suryadev, king, great king, king of the sun king. And his mother was also of the same mentality, Kunti Devi. So he was circumstantially, he was brought up by a chariot driver. And when he was a little bit grown up, then his father wanted to, okay, come on, let's learn how to, I'll show you how to take the reins and drive the horses. He said, I just don't feel like this. I don't feel inclined. I want a sword and a bow and an arrows. I feel disgusted by the thought of being a chariot driver. Because his natural inclination, Kshatriya, very strong inclination. So the different people with different mentalities, they have strong inclination. If we try to make a Brahmana into a Shudra, or into a person of Shudra mentality into a Brahmana, it won't work. We were in the concentration camps, which of the modern age, it was invented. They were invented by the British, concentration camps. So the people who die first of all in the concentration camps are those, the intellectuals, because if they're forced to, they're forced labor, they just can't adjust their mind to it. Hard physical labor, they feel totally discouraged. They want to do some intellectual work, so they feel very discouraged, and they also don't have the physical capacity to do that. So very mentally they can't adjust, and physically they can't adjust, and they very quickly they get discouraged, and they drop dead. Quite so, different mentality. So this Varnashram system is a, as Prabhupada would often describe, scientific division, which is designed by the Supreme Lord to group people according to their mentalities, so that they can function effectively for human society. If we try to say that now the intellectuals, they should do hard work, physical work, then they also are not very fit for that. They can't do it very properly. There were attempts like that, the so-called cultural revolution in China and in Kampuchea. They attempted to. Everyone should be simply a worker. But neither the intellectuals are very capable of that, nor if they are put into that hard physical labor, and the persons who are fit for hard physical labor are given the intellectual task, then that also becomes a disaster. In modern India, they have this reservation system that so many places as in the medical colleges should be reserved for people who are from the, not even the lowest caste, but sub-castes, from the tribals and scheduled castes and scheduled tribes. Even without having proper qualification, they enter the college and they become doctors, so-called, because they have to get passed by political pressure. They have to get qualified as a doctor, even though they're not qualified, but they give them the mark. But then they're not fit. But just artificially, you can't make someone into a doctor if they don't have the capacity or capability. And attempts to do so in modern society, it's simply foolishness, not recognizing the differences between people. This is a major mistake in modern human society. Prabhupada writes here that all the problems, the source of all the problems of society is large-scale industry. So ideological problems are also there. Democracy, everyone is equal, which is patently not true. Everyone is not equal. It's not that everyone has equal capacity. As Prabhupada often pointed out to those who argued that women and men should have the same roles exactly in society, then Prabhupada said, well then, why should the women only have children? Then let's make it all equal. One time the woman has a child, the next time the man should have a child. This is reductio ad absurdum. You take an argument. If you're all equal, then of course they may be trying for that now, but medically, is that possible? Medically, they can put a womb inside a man, and it's not possible. Not yet. Maybe they'll try. She's a doctor. So now they want to say that by introducing these wrong ideas, which sound very good, that all men are equal, everyone is equal in all respects, so it sounds very noble and wonderful, and we're being fair to everyone, but actually it's not being fair. It's causing disturbance in society by not recognizing the differences and trying to artificially make everyone equal. It actually causes disturbance in society. If instead of having a qualified economist as the prime minister of the country, if we say, well, then you know, anyone should have the chance. So, you know, just the man who's driving a rickshaw, then why not him? He should be the prime minister. But would anyone agree to that? Maybe, you don't know. You see who's become the previous prime minister was a man who had lifetime experience in politics. So in that way he was qualified. And the president, he's also had a lifetime experience in politics, and he's He has some qualification for administration. He understands that all the complex topics that are required for management of a country. So to artificially state that all are equal in all respects, it ignores reality, that everyone is not equal in all respects. Some people have different mentalities and different capabilities which make them better suited for different kinds of occupation. Karna, he himself could not have been satisfied as a chariot driver. He might have been a good chariot driver. Later on, Shaurya became, who was a Kshatriya, became Karna's chariot driver. He was expert horse science, there's some word for that. He was expert in driving horses. So he might have been able to do that, but he was capable of a higher task. Later, when Karna was killed, Shaurya himself, after being the chariot driver for Karna, became the leader of the whole of the forces. He was capable of more, so why should he do less? If we say that, well, everyone should be at the same capacity, then what actually happens is that everyone comes down, the standards come down, because not everyone can come up to the highest level. Everyone should be the same. Everyone should be considered on the same level, but not everyone can do the same work. So the Varnashram system is a scientific division of society in which it is recognized that there are differences, and people are trained to act in a manner that is suitable for their ability and proclivity. And that is guided by the Brahmanas. The society is guided by the Brahmanas, who understand that the purpose of human life is not simply production of goods and management of production of goods, but that is only to facilitate the actual goal of life, which is that which is directly pursued by the Brahmanas, which is understanding what is Brahma, what is Kimkad Brahma Kimadhyatma, to understand what is the absolute truth, what is spirit. Those who have a different kind of mentality, they're very much eager for producing goods or for warfare, or they're not particularly eager, they're not ambitious at all, they're simply content to serve others and be provided for. As long as they have some comforts, they're satisfied with that. So recognizing these differences and engaging people accordingly, with the Brahmanas to guide society, that actually everything should be done for the satisfaction of Vishnu, that the Kshatriyas, they should rule, Naranam cha Naradhipam, the rulers of society, they should be the representative of the Supreme Lord, guiding the citizens towards Krishna under the guidance of their gurus, the Brahmanas. And the Kshatriyas, they organize large-scale yagyas in which everything that is produced in human society is gathered and offered to the Supreme Lord, which gives material benefit by the blessings of the Supreme Lord, gives benefit, material benefit to human society and spiritual benefit also. So the Varnashram system is a system of interface between material desires and necessities and spiritual necessities. By engaging people according to their proclivity and ability, and focusing that, channeling that towards Krishna, understanding everything here is temporary, therefore although our present proclivity may be towards producing goods or serving others, but our real necessity of life is to understand Krishna. So, under the guidance of the Brahmanas, the Varnashram society, therefore, anyone performing their work according to that, they can attain all perfection by offering everything by engaging the proclivity they have acquired according to their previous activities, by engaging that in the service of Krishna, then swakarmana tam abhyarcha siddhin vindati manavaha. By performance of their work, they can, by worshipping Him, the Supreme Lord, by performance of their work, then everyone can achieve perfection. But forgetting that, the purpose is tam abhyacha, to satisfy Him, then if we simply think we shall produce for our satisfaction, for satisfaction of our senses, instead of producing goods to be offered in yajna, if we simply produce goods for our sense gratification, then this, the very same activity of production, which by channeling towards the servants of Vishnu is purifying, then it simply entangles us in material life. Therefore, yagyatat kamano yam, yagyatat kamano yatra loko yam karma bandhanaha. If we work for yagya, which means Vishnu, yagya is Vishnu, if we work for Him, then that is purifying, that is liberating. But anyatra, if we do otherwise, anyata, then that work binds us in this material world. And now in modern society, the idea is considered progressive, to produce more and more gods. And modern India, everyone is intoxicated there. Now India is progressive. We're going to be a great superpower. Aste aste ganta bhajan. AJ Pujari. Everyone is intoxicated with the prospect that we're going to produce goods and have more factories, and everyone's standard of living will improve, and India will become a great superpower, and we'll have lots of sense gratification, more and more. But this is karma bandhan. The entanglement in material activities, they don't see that by doing so they are bringing in all the problems that the Western world has already generated along with its economic development. Either they don't see, or they're so foolish they don't care that the whole of Indian society is becoming so much degraded. But they don't care, or they think it's nice, it's good. Why shouldn't people have the freedom to do as they like? It's a, when we're divorced from spiritual cultivation, from understanding that the purpose of life is God realization, not sense gratification, and then we'll think, then why shouldn't we just do what we, why shouldn't we? If, why shouldn't we, whatever feels good, whatever, as long as it doesn't harm others, this is the humanistic idea. As long as it doesn't harm others, then whatever we do, we should have full freedom to do as we love. As long as it doesn't harm others. So, but they don't know that we are harming ourselves by such a mentality. Because Nate vidu swartha kritindri Vishnu. Our real swarth, or our real self-interest, is to understand Vishnu. And any activity performed without this in mind is apaswarth, or that which is not actually in our self-interest. So not knowing this, people create big industries and think that we are making progress. And they deride that previously people built temples. What a waste of human energy. Now the temples of modern India are the factories. So they say. No one is happy in the factory. No one feels peace of mind in the factory. Factory, as Prabhupada states, is another name for hell. But modern India is very eagerly creating hell more and more. So this we should understand and preach also. Generally now in our Krishna conscious movement, we don't discuss these things. Somehow or other it's become unwanted to discuss these things. But Prabhupada discussed these things all the time, because unless we organize society in a manner that is conducive for Krishna consciousness, then we will be forced to become part of this modern society. Either we've created something different, or we're part of it. Modern Krishna conscious movement, we don't hear much being said about Prabhupada's desire to have alternative societies. Rather, we're very busy becoming part of the modern society, because we're dictated to by the economics of modern society. That we rely on donations from people who are dedicated to the misguided concept of life. So we may be afraid to tell them clearly that this way of life is not good for you. Or we may think that, well, we don't really need to have our own way of life. We can just go on as we are. Temples are there, people give donations, and people can become devotees living at home. That's true, but people becoming devotees living at home, their situation is not at all favorable for Krishna consciousness, and they're working so much, such long hours, associating with non-devotees. And then they have to send their children to the school where they're educated how to become a demon. So then how to save their children? Directly and indirectly. They're educated how to become a demon. Darwin's theory, demon, and then what you really learn at school is how to smoke, drink, womanize, cheat, lie, all these things. These are the actual things. As one devotee told me, he went to Cambridge University, and the first thing they were told, they had a meeting of the new students coming, he was told, the most important thing you have to learn here, getting a degree is not very important, they were told. The most important thing you have to learn is how to hold your drink. Because you can get through life without a degree, but you can't get through life without holding your drink. Holding your drink means you can drink a lot of alcohol without collapsing. Nowadays, by the time they go to university, already not only drink, it's already every kind of intoxicant. This was 40 years ago, we went to university. So we are in the clutches of what is actually a demoniac society. And what they think is good is actually not at all good for human society. But unfortunately, our society has become compromised with that. Now we're promoting that we have to feed the school children so they can get a better start in life, so they can study better. Study better means what? Study all those things which will take them away from Krishna. But this makes us popular if we say like this, that we should promote mundane education. So, without making our own society and our own educational system and promoting the way of thinking of the rishis, of Vyasadeva, then necessarily, or it seems almost necessarily, we become compromised with modern society. And we see that happening in our movement more and more. Of course, others may disagree, but anyone who has the eyes to see can see. So Prabhupada, he wrote so much about this, about the need to divide society. Without dividing society, into Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras. And then we follow the modern way of where everyone is a Shudra, apart from a few super Vaishyas. They're not even really Vaishyas. Those who control the business, they're not Vaishyas in the traditional sense. Where the Vaishya is to produce food and other necessities of human society. But modern society, most of the production is of non-necessities, artificial necessities. There's no need, Prabhupada said, even for a razor. There's no need to purchase razor. One razor will last for life. And anyway, it's not necessary that people shave themselves. There's a barber. He has that job. In traditional society, there's one barber in each village, and he shaves everyone, and they don't pay him. Just whenever it's time, then anyone they call about, he shaves him. And he comes and he shaves him. Why? It's his dharma, it's his duty. That's it. No payment. But then when, at the time of harvest, they'll give him some rice, some wheat, different vegetables like this. And at the time of any ceremony, and they're all the time, there are different ceremonies, family ceremonies, sanskars. So then they give charity. So in this way, there's no payment, but everyone is maintained. So Prabhupada is writing, there's no need of even a razor. There's no need to produce razors. You have one barber in the village, he'll do it. That's all. And the one razor they make, that'll last him for a lifetime. So what to speak of computers, electric light bulbs, use magazines, discussing so much nonsense, nylon clothing. There's no need for all these things. They simply make problems, they don't solve problems. Prabhupada one time was telling a devotee, you should make a book how Krishna consciousness solves all problems. So at that time there was some artificial petrol shortage. So the devotee asked Prabhupada, then how does Krishna consciousness solve the petrol shortage? It seems like a very relevant question. How are we going to... There's a shortage of petrol, of oil. So how is chanting Hare Krishna going to solve that? Prabhupada said, it's very easy. You don't use petrol. And then there's no need. And then there's no petrol shortage. Then how will we go place to place? Prabhupada said, you don't need to go place to place. There's no need. Just sit where you are and everything is produced by the grace of God. Everything is produced locally. And you chant Hare Krishna, and that's all. And then there's no petrol shortage. If you don't need to go from one place to another, you go on a bullock cart. There's no need to go. No need for mass industry. No need for cars. No need. This is revolutionary. Let us be revolutionaries according to the blueprint Prabhupada has given us. If not, then having come to the revolutionary path of Krishna consciousness, we again revolve or devolve back into the same mess that we came out of. Unless we take what is given to us by Krishna, then we're forced to take what is given by Krishnetara, those who are considering themselves separately from Krishna. Unless we take what Prabhupada gave us, then we're forced to take all the garbage which is this material world, especially in the modern age. So the Krishna conscious movement is actually meant to bring a total change in human society. They're not meant to become part of this demoniac society. Might be comment on that? At the time of creation, yeah. How is that reconciled? Well, there were also Rajas in the... We find from the beginning that Uttamakad was a... He was early, Sati, was a king also. So There may have been, but at least we also find in the Bhagavatam that in the beginning there was only the Hamsa Jati. So maybe, as you were saying yesterday, that some statements there, general statements. That the organized society may have been significantly less at that time. And the great majority of people were not living in the cities, or they had no specific arrangement for living. They had no particular arrangement for ahara nidra bhayo maitun. Just whatever was there, they would accept it. And as you were stating, as you were telling me this morning, that has been part of Indian culture up to the present day, that people are more or less content with whatever. Many people are content with whatever they have. Whatever they can get very simply, they're content with that. They're content to live very simply. And their pleasure in life is hearing and chanting about Krishna. We still see that in Orissa, that's right. We don't find many people, they're not particularly concerned about working hard to make money. But whatever they get is a little work, they tell, and in the evening they'll sit and listen to Nrusimha Purana, or that's popular in Orissa. Or whatever, Srimad Bhagavatam. Some years ago in South India, one devotee, he was making some project, some farm project. Not exactly. So the workers, they're working, but just a little bit, and he wanted to get it finished. He said, why don't they work longer hours, then I can get it finished more quickly? And the local man was organizing the contracting for him. He said, well, that's just the way they are. They just work enough to earn enough for the day, and when they've earned enough, that's it. So he said, well, why don't we pay them more? And then they'll work harder. He said, no, no, if you pay them more, they'll work less. But because he was from America, he didn't understand, so he paid them more anyway. He paid them twice the amount, and then they came after 2 days, because they had enough for 2 days. They were content, Hare Krishna, with what they had. And in the evening, they hit and sit and hear Shastra or do Kirtan. That was the culture. The British, they thought this was very bad. Because then how can we develop the economy? The original Indian culture was that, whatever you have, you be content. And you chant Hare Krishna. The modern culture, to develop the economy, however much you get, you're never content. You have to work hard and get more and more and more. Which is better? Content with little and develop spiritual consciousness, or never content, always want more? What's your question?
Maharaj, you made the point that participating in the modern economy is so damaging to the cultivation of devotion. It's a problem facing Brahmanas. It's an internal problem of society. So how best to address this problem?
Hearing and chanting about Krishna. But then again, the problem comes that Grihasthas, they don't have that much time, and they may not have the inclination also, after working hard all day with non-devotees. So the Prabhupada's solution was the revolution of going to quiet revolution, going to the land, growing our own food, and living according to our own values.
We find that there are farm communities, for example, right from Canada, it's impossible to provide for your needs simply by working the land, just because the atmosphere isn't there. It's not quite set up, so everybody works off the farm.
Right, and then they drive into the city.
Yeah.
It is possible to live on the land only, because that's the only way people lived until 150 years ago. And so it is possible, but it's a matter of preaching. Also, modern laws make it, they may also make it very difficult to do so, because they require you to do, to... I was at one rural community in America. Someone was building a house, and he said, well, why don't you build the toilet away from the house? The original name for toilet in English was outhouse, because it wasn't in-house. It wasn't next to the kitchen. You pass stool and then you come out and cook your sausages. It wasn't, they weren't next to each other. But he said that I wanted to do that, but the state law is that you have to have, if you're going to build a residential building, you have to have an attached toilet. So there are difficulties involved, but we have to make a start somewhere. That's not a, so that isn't, that's not the whole answer. The answer is to do it. But at least we have, at least we should be aware of this. And there are devotees who are seriously working on this. It's going to come. Now it's going to start coming up in our society more and more. At last. Yes, please.
This is, we've seen it actually in many cases, at least in the Western countries, people are completely unqualified to live on the land because they're thoroughly ignorant about how to do so. How to maintain the cows, how to grow crops, they don't know either.
People don't know how to do these things.
Because the society in which they grew up and were trained,
well, they have to learn, because just like there are many people, non-devotees, who have learned how to do this, and because they don't want to be part of modern city life. So, Ichha Thakle Upai Hoy, as it said in Bengali. If there's a will, there's a way.
But simultaneously, kind of retreating to the land and developing Varnashram seems antithetical to city preaching and to actually rescuing the fallen.
No, well, Prabhupada wanted them to go on side by side. He didn't say stop the city centers.
But my impression is that the context where he said, okay, now it's time to start developing Varnashram, that's while preaching is going on very strong all around the world. But now, presently, in the West particularly, there's been a kind of lapse of generation of new devotees. So in that light, should preaching be revived in the cities, or should...
Everything has to go on side by side. It's not either or. Should I eat today or should I sleep today? All necessities have to be taken care of. If they're not all taken care of simultaneously, then if all necessities are not taken care of, then the holistic welfare will not be there. Just like if you think, I'll eat today, I'll eat twice as much today and not sleep, and tomorrow I'll sleep twice as much and not eat. It doesn't work. Yuktahara viharas. So similarly, we can preach, but why is there a lapse? I postulate that why our preaching has gone down so much in the West, my theory is that because we didn't take up the other side or the other part of making facilities for people to live as devotees, so then they go back to the Karmi society and they say that, they tell people, don't join the temple because you'll end up like me. And then you'll end up like me, I'm 30 years old, I have no life skills, I have to get a job. So then they're telling people, don't preach, don't make devotees, don't tell people to join the temple. And we're finding that some devotees are preaching, join the temple, and others will come and say, don't, you'll be in trouble later on. And so then, without that alternative, that alright, you did some time as a preacher, now you live as a grihastha, and here's land. By the way, it's not that everyone that lives on the land is working on the land, but there are Brahman, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras. Not everyone's Everyone will have a kitchen garden, but it's not that everyone's involved in production of greens. And even everyone may have cows, but traditionally in India, people keep cows. They don't look after the cow, though. The cow, the gwala, or the gopar, I guess you'd call it, the cowherd man will come and look after the cows. So, without that alternative, then people have lost faith. You know, we came to this movement, we gave ourselves, and then there's nothing for us. So, all things have to go on side by side.
So the prophet gave the formula that America, or the Western temple, is like a blind man, and India is like a lame man. So the blind man and the lame man come together. The lame man can act as the eye of the blind man, and the blind man can act as the legs of the lame man. So that doesn't just apply to India's spiritual wisdom, but also to India's material wisdom as well. In this respect, that if we want to know how to live simply and in a natural, sustainable lifestyle, we can learn that from India.
Yeah.
We've done that in some fairly recent times, and some people are still there.
Actually, this idea of simple living and going back, in the West they talk about going back to the land, but most of the world never left the land, even yet. The Western countries are able to live this artificial lifestyle with so many artificial necessities by exploiting the other countries, actually. Importing their goods like this. Anyway, Hare Krishna. I wrote a little bit about this in that Glimpses of Traditional Indian Life book to give some idea of where we should be heading at as a society. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.